As kids grow up, they try to understand the world around them. In the case of Miles Adler Hart, he usually gets more than he bargained for. He's the narrator of Mona Simpson's sixth novel called Casebook, a part detective story, part coming-of-age novel that follows Miles as he goes from kid to high schooler and his family goes through divorce. And when his mother's boyfriend arouses suspicions in Miles, he sets out to uncover the truth. It's published by Knopp, and I'm very pleased it has brought Mona Simpson back to our show. Hi.
Hi.
Miles tells us in the very first lines of the novel, "I was a snoop, but a peculiar kind. I only discovered what I most didn't want to know." What's Miles trying to find out?
Well, he starts out trying to find out sort of normal things, like what he'll be allowed to watch on television.
What his mother is telling other moms about TV time, because he wants to watch Survivor.
Yes, exactly. He wants to watch it, not even only to watch it. He wants to watch it so he can talk to people at school for the social advantage. But as he begins to put a walkie-talkie under his parents' bed to listen to the conversations, and as he himself secrets himself places where he can overhear, he finds that he begins to overhear things that he wasn't planning on. You know, of course, he's hoping that when he listens in on them, they'll always be talking about him, but they don't.
I've talked to other novelists about the challenges of telling the story through the eyes of a 9-year-old who moves on to, what, about 12 or so, because you can't make them too perceptive. At the same time, you can't make them totally innocent.
Well, there's moments. This story is actually told a little bit retrospectively. I mean, he's actually telling the story when he's older, but he's referring to in the book he's young. It's of course, like any limitation, it's kind of an advantage too. There's also, you said it's a spy story and a mystery and a growing up story. It's also a little bit a love story, mm-hmm. And for the love story, I found it was a great help to me to write from the vantage of someone whose primary concern wasn't the lovers.
Well, at a certain point, he starts becoming interested in girls himself.
Yes,
he's trying
exactly.
to apply what he's learning from watching his parents go through their turmoil, and then his mother's new boyfriend. And believe me, I will not give any spoilers here, Mona.
I know you won't. We've done all this before. I trust you completely.
Does Miles, like many kids, have a certain need or desire for things to be in black and white still?
I think he starts out with things in black and white, or thinking his taste runs to the black and white. He loves superheroes. He loves good and evil in all of his, you know, in the comics he watches and reads, and in his taste in art is very black and white. But then he comes to realize that actually he's had a fairly protected, fuzzy, gray life up until now, and is actually quite shocked to discover anyone really doing something wrong.
Now, what did you draw from in creating this character?
And from Miles?
Yes.
I don't know.
He obviously is not like you were when you were a kid.
Well, it's funny. It's a little of both things. I have a boy. It's certainly not my boy. I mean, in some ways, it's a mother's fantasy. I've written about a teenage boy who's obsessed with his parents. You know, what teenage boy? Certainly not the one in my house. But I used certainly the language and the slang of my son and his friends. But I think the essential emotional stance is actually probably from me and my life.
You also have given Miles a best friend, Hector, who supplies footnotes to the novel to explain what was going on from
his version, his memories.
Now, his parents do seem a little mismatched. His father, Carrie, is an entertainment lawyer, and his mother doesn't seem to feel comfortable in that world.
She's a mathematician, and she made a kind of a mistake. She tried to take on a very ambitious open problem and tried to solve it and spent years on it, but her theorem didn't yield, and so she now has to teach more and doesn't get paid her summer nights.
On the other hand, Miles is quite smart and enterprising. At one point, he starts selling food out of his locker at school to turn a profit.
And does turn a profit.
But does his intelligence get him into trouble?
It does. It's. I don't know if it's his intelligence that gets him into trouble, or his. He eventually becomes very obsessed, and sort of even after he unravels the mystery he stumbled upon, he can't quite let it go. At one point, there are these two boys for a long time who are in this quest, and then they get the resolution. They get the goods, and one of them can kind of move on, and the other one not.
Well, he takes the money that he has earned and actually hires a private detective.
Yes.
Because he is very suspicious of his mother's boyfriend, Eli.
As most kids probably are.
Well, first he seems to be happy that his mother has someone to talk to when his twin sisters, who he has great contempt for, are at their father's. And he seems to be happy with Eli. Also, the fact is Eli lives in Washington, D.C., so he's not there all the time.
Right. He vacillates in his feelings towards him. He's sometimes sort of beguiled and seduced by Eli, although he sometimes feels he loves him even, but the feelings don't stick.
And why does he become more and more suspicious about
him? He finds there are various little things that just don't add up for him, and it's unclear whether I think there is a sort of resistance among kids of divorce to anyone after all, anyone new is an interloper or in a family.
So it is not unusual for someone like Maz to feel totally protective of their mother?
No, I don't think so. Do you think?
Well,
I think it varies.
It depends
mother.
On your relationship with your mother.
I grew up with a single mother, and I actually don't remember my parents together, so it's not as if I had nostalgia for an intact family. But I was certainly suspicious about her suitors. I wondered, you know, would they help us? Would they be able to financially help us? I also wondered, would they break her heart? And if they seemed as if they could break her heart, that was very daunting because I couldn't stop it.
But
she wanted
it. But Miles also has a relationship with his father, and kids often
completely.
Feel torn.
Yes.
Their loyalties are torn.
Completely.
Was divorce on your mind when you were writing this book?
Divorce was sort of the background for this book, I felt.
Well, I've read that you were kind of going through a divorce on your own. Was that at
no,
that
I
time?
No, I went through a divorce longer ago.
Oh, years. Longer ago.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
So, but you're a veteran of the experience.
Yes.
My guest is Mona Simpson. Her latest book is a novel called Casebook. And Casebook is because this kid starts developing the case against his mom's suitor.
Yes.
At first, Eli seems to be pushing Irene to finalize her divorce and commit, but then he seems to be unable to commit.
There's a little of that, yeah. We see the love story glancingly. I mean, we see it sort of through... We get what Miles can get from his various devices, which he starts out with a walkie-talkie. He hides behind doors, goes under the bed. At one point is in a tree listening to things in the front yard, on the roof, listening to people on the porch. But often he gets a gadget from Radio Shack that actually taps into the phone line, but it's the home phone line. And, of course, people use cell phones an awful lot. So he finds he's just getting the tail ends of conversation. So we have only Miles's info.
You've said that this novel is also your attempt at a love story. Mm. Have love stories changed over the years? Do they involve divorce more and more these days?
I think so. I mean, when you think of what Maisie knew, written, you know, a little over a century ago by Henry James, which involved a divorce, the divorce rate then was about 7%. Oops.
Your now, headphones just
my
fell
headphones,
off.
Oops, they're slipping, sorry. I have slippery ears. So yes, I think it's part of the way we live now, which is an interesting problem for fiction writers because of course we don't have that sense of absolute permanence at the end of a novel if two characters marry, but that's been changing for an awfully long time. I mean, imagine the thrill we all felt when in Middlemarch, right near the first third of the book, our heroine marries the wrong person and we all know it and she doesn't. I mean, it's kind of a thrilling premise.
We have that with Madame Bovary as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Although she doesn't really have many choices.
Yeah.
Or, for that matter, Isabel Archer.
Well, I guess
literature
that's been a
is
basic,
strewn with
bad marriages,
yes, exactly.
Or mismatched couples.
Exactly. But we have so many fewer social constraints, at least in 21st century America.
Well, it's probably it's an interesting thing to tell the story from the point of view of an adolescent, because kids start to see their parents as adults at that time, but they also see them as often as jerks. Although Miles is very, very protective, as we said, of his mother. He's worried about her vulnerability.
Right.
Does divorce hasten this matter of seeing your parents as adults?
I wonder. I think it can. I think it depends on the divorce. It depends on the people.
Well, he stops rummaging through his mother's drawers at a certain point because of what he's afraid he's going to find there.
Right. I think there's also, you know, he's trying to spy to find specific things, but of course, as anyone who's ever overheard anyone else talking about them, say, finds out, you can't spy selectively. So as soon as he starts really searching, he's going to find some things which have nothing to do with his particular pursuit, like his parents' sexuality, which he doesn't want to see or deal with or touch at all.
There's a lot of humor in this novel.
I hope so.
Is that something that just comes
that
as
just
you're
came with these particular boys?
And a lot of the humor comes from Miles' attempts to understand the love he sees emerging between his mother and Eli. Can you really put together the clues of someone else's relationship, someone else's love story?
Right. He tries. And he gets shreds of it. He gets scraps of it. Glimmers.
But do you think, is there something more honest and frank about Miles' impressions of love because he's a child?
Yeah, I think so. And I think most of us, most of the time, see love the way Miles sees love as a baby. I mean, one is not usually the lover. One is usually, when one spends most of one's life, I think, or at least I have, sort of watching the lovers. And so that's his experience. And he's trying to figure out what parts of that to keep. He's very suspicious, but on the other hand, it's not as if his suspicion has really helped matters or protected anyone from anything. And he also doesn't necessarily want to give up kind of the high romantic notes for himself either.
But that doesn't prevent him from hiring the private detective.
No. Well, though he's not doing that about his own relationships, just his mother's.
Is there anyone?
It was fun, by the way, interviewing contemporary PIs in Los Angeles who have such a storied literary history.
Well, there have been so many detective novels written from the viewpoint of Philip Marlowe's and the
yes,
like.
Yes, exactly. But they've changed a little bit. And I went to talk to a bunch of them. And it was really fun because, for example, a great number of them now do different things.
Well, because this is a detective story, I don't want to give away the ending. And it is safe to say, as in all those detective stories, Philip Marlowe on, that Miles and Hector get more than they bargained for.
Yes.
Is that the turning point for them? A moment where the world goes from black and white to gray?
Yes, and it also is the moment of growing up in some way.
Is there any irony that Miles can't understand the love between his mother and Eli, but he can see that there's something going on and that about Eli that his mother can't?
Yeah, and I think also that eventually these two kids stumble on a big parcel of information, and they've been the observers, they've been the snoops, they've been kind of the sideline kids throughout the whole story, and now it's kind of all up to them. Do they tell people? Do they get help? Do they leave things just play out as it is?
Well, they're kids, so they're powerless on most levels.
Yes.
This is your sixth novel. Has your writing process stayed the same over the years?
I like to think that this one was a little more fun, but no, it changes up every time. But I think it has changed a little. It's become more daily and more. I think I'm a little bit more calm about it.
Well, people have also talked to me about how each new work issues a new challenge.
Yeah,
and they
I think
keep
that's
on issuing
true.
New challenges to themselves.
Yes.
So the first novel, in some ways, the challenge was just writing the first
just
novel.
Finishing the first novel is a huge monumental thing. But I find finishing any novel to be a huge monumental thing. And that's really...
Did this change a lot over the course of the writing?
It did. And you know, there's just that... There's a wonderful period near the end of a novel. I think the last 6 months or a year is really as good as it gets, because you get very happy because a lot of things you've set up begin to tie themselves together.
Mona Simpson will be reading with Michelle Hunnevin at the Macaulay Author Series at CUNY tonight at 7 p.m. More information is on our show page at WNYC.org. The book, Casebook, is published by Knopf. Thank you so much for being on our show
again. Thank you.